Harry, it's hard-hearted harbinger of haggis, beautiful, bemused, bellicose butcher.
Mike Myers making fun of poetry readings in the film So I Married an Axe Murderer. But don't let that stop you from giving poetry a chance. Every year, the National Book Critics Circle honors writers from genres as varied as biography and young adult fiction. Today, we're going to focus on the poetry nominees with J.D. McClatchy, who teaches English at Yale University. He's also the editor of the Yale Review, a literary quarterly. Last week, we spoke about the National Book Critics Circle nominees and whether the award's a big deal.
There are prizes that are more prominent, the Pulitzer Prize and the National Book Award. The National Book Critics Circle Awards were founded by actual working stiff critics, unlike Columbia University, which runs the Pulitzer Prize, and foundations that run the other prizes. And they have been broader. They bring in foreign writers, for example, into their finalists' lists. And it's a very prestigious award.
And what impact does it tend to have?
Well, perhaps for the novels, it increases their sales. What it does for the poets, I'm not sure. But the prizes in the poetry world are small, and I'm sure the poets are, and their publishers are, grateful for the recognition.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the individual poets who are nominated in some of their poems. Gary Snyder was nominated for his first collection in 20 years. It's called Danger on Peaks. What are some of its themes?
Well, he starts by recounting a time that he climbed Mount St. Helens in 1945. And the day he descended, news came to the West Coast of the States that the atomic bomb had been dropped. And this combination was so striking to him, having wandered for days in the midst of this extraordinary natural beauty, then to come down and find the first newspaper photographs of the devastation in Hiroshima. Gary Snyder has lived all of his life in the Sierra Nevadas, although for a long time he lived in Japan. He's a great student of Zen. He writes kind of hands-off poetry. He's meant to evoke the world, not to interfere with it. His poems are haiku-like. He wants to reveal the world, the natural world, in its freshness and its integrities, and then to find out what is a man's place in the universe. Everything has its place. He's not sentimental. He's not pious the way nature poets can be. And what he wants to try to find is the balance, where things belong and how they belong in the world.
Now, one of those sort of extended haikus is called Baby Jackrabbit.
Baby jackrabbit on the ground, thick, furry, brindled coat, little black tail tip, back of the neck ate out. Life for an owl.
That's just nature in its cruel beauty, and he just sits there and observes what happens, doesn't judge it.
Snyder is considered, I guess, sort of an elder statesman of nature poetry. Another established poet nominated is Adrienne Rich.
Her career has been quite remarkable. She was born in 1929, so is one of poetry's elders of the tribe. She began as a rather demure prodigy. Her first book was published when she was a senior at Radcliffe. But over the decades, she became more and more politicized, I suppose you should say, responding to the tumultuous events in the 60s and later, and come to feel that poetry had a purpose, not just to delight, not just to astonish. She feels that the poet has to be at the barricades rather than at the desk.
This new book is The School Among the Ruins, and it includes a poem called 5 o'clock, January 2003.
Tonight, as cargoes of my young fellow countrymen and women are being hauled into positions aimed at death, positions they who did not will it suddenly have to assume, I am thinking of Ed Azevedo, half awake in recovery, if he has his arm whole, and how much pain he must bear under the drugs.
This is a very interesting poem because it begins by its premise about American soldiers being sent into battle, and then it goes back to a little incident that happened to a friend of hers who got a little cut in his hand, and without knowing it, that cut sent infections through the system, very life-threatening and whatnot. This poem works entirely through metaphor, as good poems should, showing how a small incident on a beach, a man getting cut, is within a week in surgery in a hospital, his whole body infected and threatened with death. And one is meant to see in the power of a single little incident happening obscure on the Pacific coast an allegory of the larger social body of America.
Tell us about D.A. Powell, who is nominated for his collection, Cocktails.
This is the strangest book. It's a strong list, I think, of nominees and good books. This is the strangest of the five books. It's the third of a series. The first book was called Tea, then Lunch, and now Cocktails. The cocktails here are the usual kinds of cocktails, but it also refers, of course, to HIV drug cocktails. So it's a book about desire, the fleshly desires, but it's a book that also acknowledges that the body's most dangerous organ is the heart. It's about desires in a world, in a self that is infected, dangerous, guilty, all sorts of what we call the side effects of a dangerous disease. They're written up in poems that have no titles. The normal expectations of words and sentences are confounded. It's not exactly experimental, but it's edgy and puckish. It's filled with references to pop culture, to movies, to the gospel, to you don't know what's coming next.
Well, one of them, as you said, has no title, but the subtitle, A Song of the Last Supper.
A damask table surrounded by bachelors. Some already parted regimens of AZT, D4T, Crixivan, Viracept, and early slumber.
This is from a section of the book that deals with biblical subjects. It's rather like, say, a photograph of Da Vinci's Last Supper, but with movie stars in places of all the disciples you'd see in Vanity Fair. He likes to take movies, for example, and put himself into the plot. The plot becomes his own story. And he does the same thing with the Bible, where he takes a dinner party and realizes that all the men around the table are on HIV medicines. They're sort of after dinner drinks. And one man across the table's foot happens to touch his shin. He feels that sudden rush, even in the midst of decay and despair. There's that sudden rush in the heart.
Bridget Pegeen Kelly is nominated for her collection, The Orchard. Why does she write so much about wilderness and fantasy? What kind of orchard is that?
I suppose it's the kind of orchard you would encounter in a dream. The book's poems return again and again to the same strange setting. It seems as if it were the grounds of an old aristocratic estate in ruins, the formal gardens gone to seed, the sort of mossy statuary, the dark forest and whatnot. It's an allegorical landscape in which the same figures return, a dog, a stone lion, the corpse of a deer. But the poems seem, they're empty of people, they're haunted. And what I like about these poems particularly is that yes, there are images that we don't understand, but the images we don't understand are the ones that persist in our memories the longest. We don't know what's happening in these dark forests, but we sense their kind of hidden narratives of injury and betrayal and loss.
She begins the book with a poem, Black Swan. Let's hear part of that.
I told the boy I found him under a bush. What was the harm? I told him he was sleeping and that a black swan slept beside him. The swan's feathers hot, the scent of the hot feathers and of the bush's hot white flowers, as rank and sweet as the stewed milk of a goat.
This is a wonderful poem in which the speaker's son comes back as a young boy and returns to the explanation she gave him as a child about where she found the boy and what his feelings are about this. She had made up an elaborate story, and the poem goes on to talk about the boy in slightly later life.
Now, James Richardson is nominated for Interglacial. It spans 27 years. Is it a survey of his career?
It is. It's a selected poems. James Richardson is a poet who has been somewhat ignored by the critics, and this is a chance to see his whole career before it, and it's a very impressive achievement indeed. He's drawn to ordinary events and objects, a frisbee, a monster movie at the multiplex, a strange bird on the front lawn. And then he tries to find the eternal in the everyday. It's wonderful to see how he, well, you know how some people, we say they entertain ideas, and that's what he does. He turns them around, holds them up to light. He's also drawn to science in a way that many poets are not. He knows about bird migration and quantum mechanics and Doppler effects.
Now, one of the more recent poems is called Death.
He's not the scyther, black hood, face and shadow, still less the sinuous and cufflinked flourisher of those cigarettes you can't buy anywhere, and least of all the seductress with a plan. Since he dies repeatedly, Death has no experience.
Could you explain what he's doing in that poem in particular?
What he's trying to do is take a received idea. We always think of the Reaper, someone in a black robe and no face, coming specifically for you and for me. And in fact, he turns that idea upside down and tries to talk of the figure of death as someone who really doesn't know what he's doing. That extraordinary image at the end, when he says, really, he wasn't thinking particularly of you. This teen with a too big Uzi he doesn't even know yet if he is going to use. That frightening image that we know from Columbine, say, or any number of other sad incidents where teenagers with guns who don't know what they're doing. That's the image of death, the randomness of it, the unexplainability of it.
Why should we care about these nominees or about poetry in general?
Well, we get from poetry something that we cannot get elsewhere. Why should we care about anything but for that reason? We live in a culture of short takes and sidebars, and poetry is something that wants deliberately to slow us down, to make us question, and I think that's why it's valued.
J.D. McClatchy teaches English at Yale University. He's also the editor of Poets of the Civil War, a forthcoming collection from the Library of America and the American Poets Project. On Friday, the National Book Critics Circle will announce the winners in all of its categories. To hear some verse by this year's poetry nominees, you can go to our website, npr.org. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Sheila Kast.